This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With two in three football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
1 week ago, it was 9 points from three. 5 days ago, 5 points from three. 4 days ago, it was 4 points from two. And as I sit here in front of you today, 1 point from one game, and Ipswich Town are in the Premier League. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. Wow. Dave, the second leg of the mother of all three game weeks is over. How are you feeling?
Well, you said to me just before we came in on air, half joking, but I think you nailed it really. This is why we started the podcast, 9 years ago now, to get, well, hopefully to this very, very moment. Still really getting over last night. A surreal night for me. I don't know, I'll tell you about it in a while. Brilliant. But what a night, what a team, what character, what just courage, everything, that every superlative really you could aim at it, really wouldn't sum it up last night. Absolutely brilliant. And we are on the threshold, aren't we, boys? On the threshold, on the cusp.
Oh, Joe, all the times we mapped this out and I'd be saying to you, can you just be 2 points behind, you know, with the final game coming in and 3 points ahead?
Which is sort of whether you want to be greedy, wasn't it? Because it's almost like if you could have been in contention on that final day of the season, everyone would have bit your hand off for it. If it could have been, you've just got to win that game, the last game of the season, everyone would have bit your hand off for it. And now it's just don't concede a goal on Saturday and we're in the Premier League. It's as simple as that, isn't it? It's crazy. We are so, so close. You look at the bookies' odds, we're 1-40 on to be promoted now. Oosh. It is, and Leeds are 16-1. It is. It's basically saying it's like 98% chance at us, 2% them. It is, we're never going to have a better opportunity than this. We couldn't be any closer to it. It's just that last bit, getting over the line. We did it brilliantly last year against Exeter, and now we need to, I don't think it'll be as comfortable as it was last year, but if we can get it done, just what a season, what a day, what a team, what a manager, what a group, what a fan base again. Brilliant. Yeah.
Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. It is a live match reaction show, but let's be honest, we're just going to do the format we would do on the flagship show. We're really pleased to have so many of you here. I can see tons of you live here in the chat on YouTube. Get your views in. We'll go to some Q&A after the boys have dissected Coventry 1, Ipswich Town 2 from last night at the CBS. If you're listening after the fact on audio, we appreciate the hell out of you. Please give us a 5-star review. Let's get into this then. And I suppose, Dave, we can kind of look back now at probably what Kieran McKenna's plan was in terms of load for these players across the three-game week with some of the starters that came in here. Hladke in goal, more from him just before half-time. Axel Tuanzebe continues at right-back. George Edmondson against Sims and Wright continues at centre-back. Cameron Burgess, Joe, more from him later on. Leif Davis, is he fit? Is he not? I don't know. Just get through to Sunday, Leif, for God's sake. Morsi and Luongo. Wes Burns starts again. Amari Hutchinson in the 10. It's a big game. Get him in. Broadhead down the left-hand side. And Kiefer Moore, Dave. Obviously, the plan, well, looks now like Hurst, Moore, Hurst. Your thoughts on Kieran McKenna starting 11? And if you can both parlay this into this plan across the entire week.
Yeah, I think without question. I mean, Broadhead, I'm not sure. Was he ill or something? Wasn't even in the squad. Wasn't even in the 18 on Saturday, was he? Not certainly not on the bench. So I didn't see, I don't think, anywhere which said he was injured or you know, simply rested completely out of the squad, obviously with one eye on last night, horses for courses and all that. No surprise. I think we all perhaps thought that Hurst, after his starting 60 minutes the other night, was superb, but yeah, we all thought that Moore would start yesterday, and quite right, he did. I think again, if Joe said we're 40-1 on, it was probably the same odds for Hurst to start on Saturday, I would have said, or something around there. Edmondson for Wolfenden was an interesting one, but as you say, maybe up against Sims, up against Hadji Wright, maybe a little more.
Dave, we've had it in our heads since he did it against Liam Delap with the big, powerful, physical strikers.
Yeah, perhaps. Harsh on Wolfie. I think Wolfie's been brilliant this season. I say harsh on him. You know, it's a squad, as we know. Maybe a little bit more, how can I put this, streetwise, maybe, perhaps, but, you know, throwing that in. But no, other than that, yeah, I think we all thought that Burns would start, and he did. Yeah, well, I think we all, you know, looking at the side when it came through, I think we all like the look of that, to be fair.
Joe, thoughts on the selection and the, you know, Saturday. It is Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. I could have said that in Mick McCarthy's voice. I knew he'd get mentioned today somewhere, Joe.
Yeah, it just shows how important Wes Burns, isn't it? Because as soon as he's back, he's straight into the team.
Yeah.
Stays in the team. And as good as George Hurst played at the weekend, the drop-off to go back to Kiefer Moore, It's a different type of player, not a worse player in the team there, where for Wes Burns, he just gives us, I think Booth was mentioned in the comments, just gives us such a unique skill, effectively, in how he plays the game, how good he is going forward, stretching the game defensively on that side as well, how much support he gives. And yeah, just so important to get him in there. I was surprised that Edmondson played instead of Wolfenden. I think that's only the second time he's played in that position this season, as opposed to being in the sort of Burgess role. But as everything we seem to say about Kieran McKenna, everything he touches turns to gold. Edmondson was excellent, as he has been generally every time he stepped in. He stepped in, I think it was his 10th start last night of the season in the league, and he's probably been 8 out of 10 in 7 of those games. He's been a really good, and probably quite unfortunate not to have played more. And it's just incredible that these players can come in, just be so ready to play. He was injured, went off injured a couple of weeks ago. Wes Burns has been injured. George Hurst has been long-term injury. And they can just come in, look fit, look sharp, fit straight into the team and just go. It's just such a testament to the squad and McKenna and how he treats the squad, his man management and everything along those lines.
I mean, it's a really good point you make there. I think it was the Watford game? It could have been the Borough game that he limped off. I think it was Watford, wasn't it, Joe? That Edmondson limped off. And I said to my boy, I said, yeah, that's it. He's done. Yeah, that perhaps he looked like his ankle again, which we all know he's had issues with in the past. And I looked at my son and said, yeah, that could be him done for the season. And then he's back and just, I mean, both centre-halves last night, the Burgess again, not, you know, put what happened on 70 minutes or whatever to one side. He was just superb, wasn't he? Absolutely brilliant. In fact, defensively last night, I thought we were just top notch.
So Coventry, playoff finalists last season, FA Cup semi-finalists this season, outside of the parachute teams, because of the sales of Jokeres and Hamer, were able to invest more than any other team other than those with a massive broadcast bonus. They have plenty of good players, Joe. Collins in goal. Okay, he's not been having a great time at the moment. One brilliant save, though, in this game coming up. De Silva left. Van Evick, who I like a lot down the right. Thomas and Latabodier are the centre backs. Eccles kind of out of position on the right hand side, it has to be said, against Leif Davis. Kelly Chief, the excellent Chief, and some good forward players here. Haji Wright, Casey Palmer, Ellis Sims, good players, Joe, but potentially very tired players going back-to-back three-game weeks after losing the FA Cup semi-final in extra penalties against Manchester United.
Yes, yeah, they are a team. I think if you were to pick the Coventry away, obviously we have to play that fixture this season. If you could have put that anywhere in the calendar, I think where we had it probably worked out best for us this season. Out with the playoff run, out with the playoff places, out with the FA Cup. I think like fifth game in 15 days or fourth game in 9 days. So I think we have ended up very fortunate with the timing of the fixture.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can have that debate later, but I know with hindsight it looks like that, Joe, but we wouldn't be saying that if Leeds had beat QPR on Friday night. So I think the devil's absolutely in the detail. Dave, who are you sort of looking forward to / fearing in that Coventry 11?
Yeah, I think obviously Sims and Wright up front, but as Joe quite rightly said, it looked like of any of the players, I thought on their side, it looked like it caught up with Sims. He was just running in sand, wasn't he? Honestly, he just didn't really look like he had anything left in the tank, to be fair. I was perhaps looking forward to, well, I'm glad I wasn't looking forward to seeing O'Hare, but then I understand he's not signing a new contract. So perhaps obviously rested, but literally only came on for a very, very little cameo at the end. But yeah, the two up front, but yeah, like someone's just said in the chat there, I do like that Sheaf in midfield. He's a player, isn't he? Real, real player.
He is.
Yeah.
So is Wes Burns, Joe. And it's going to be an amazing start in front of the away end. Just talk to me about the... just paint a little Van Gogh picture for me. I love end of season midweek games where it starts in bright sunshine and ends in the darkness.
Well, we just had the away end was so noisy as well in that corner. You had quite a smaller corner there than what you used to, but it was shirt sleeve weather, people in the pub in their shorts before the game, some people following the sort of Google directions from the pub to the ground and having to go via a swamp and ending up with mud up to their knees, where a few of us sent back the other way. But yeah, we started the game really brightly. And Murray Hutchinson picked up the ball in a nice position, had a shot, which was a bit too close to the keeper. And then a bit later, Morsey gets the ball, a nice sort of quick, direct vertical ball into Hutchinson. And it's that little lovely sort of left foot curling ball inside, and Burns just gets the run on his fullback. Gets to the byline, does really, really well, looks up, pulls it back to the penalty spot. And Kiefer Moore almost has taken the Connor Chaplin style position of just standing still and letting everyone move around him. And it just drops to Moore and he just levers the ball. Effectively, there's two defenders on the line of the keeper there. I think it goes for the keeper's legs, doesn't it, almost? But he hits it really, really hard and it's right in front of the away end. And for the first time that night, we go bananas in there. I thought this was about 20 minutes into the game, and then we realised it's about 8 minutes into the game. It was a really, really slow first half, but yeah, massive limps in there.
So let me tell you about my story post goal.
Dave, can you just pull your headset a little bit away from your chin? Yeah. I think we're getting a bit. Right. Sorry, go ahead.
So let me tell you about my story post goal. So Chris Rand, our very kind Telegram follower, long time pub supporter. His cousin is a Cov member and a Town fan, and obviously all desperate for tickets. That's another story we'll get onto, because that's ridiculous last night how the away end only had, I don't know, what do we have, 3,000? Yeah, clearly it could have held another 2, 3, 2.5 easily. So his cousin volunteered quite brilliantly to get a box for 12. So 12 of us in this box. And there was a box of 50, us in 12, there's a box of 15 next to us. And I knew once I went outside, just as the game was about to kick off, I thought, yeah, there was one or two slightly, how can I put this, over-refreshed Town fans in the box next to us. So the stewards then said, oh, yeah, you know, if we score, keep it on a down low because, you know, although there are Coventry fans there, but look, it's a family enclosure, but just don't rub it in, keep it on the down low. Oh, my God. So we scored, and I was with James Rann, and we scored. The immediate reaction, we didn't go over the top, but yeah, punch the air, give it some of that, yes, sat down. and it was like mongoose popping up everywhere. Stewards had to come in, they were looking to charge up the stand, mostly for the guys behind us, but we were like right there. So much so that this went on all throughout the game. We didn't score again. Our second goal, we were a little bit more circumspect in celebrating it anyway. And basically ended with about 5 minutes to go, plus the 10 of time added on, which again, sorry, spoiler alert. The stewards come up to us and says, "For your own safety, I suggest you retreat back to the box." So we retreated back to the box, but we were sort of peeping out. We were there outside the box for the last knockings of the game. But yeah, quite surreal. But bad form from Coventry, really. They one in really perhaps letting boxes like that in the vicinity of Coventry fans go like that. And two, which I know some people have raised in the chat already, is how many more fans could have easily been accommodated in the away end. It's bloody ridiculous. And I'm sorry, there was no way there was 26,700 there last night. No chance.
No, it's a bigger stadium than you think, that one. I'll just read this one in the chat. We've scored that goal 100 times under McKenna before. The classic cutback. Joe, talk to me about nerves in the stadium, because, you're kind of... I won't tell you my nervous approach to viewing the game last night, but it was quite similar to my approach with the East Anglian derby about a month ago, put it that way. But you go a goal up and it's, oh my God, this is on. How are you feeling?
Well, especially because you knew that a point is good enough last night, wasn't it? A point meant you went into the last game. So it's like, effectively, they need to score two goals for this not to be good enough. So we're in such a strong position now. And the first half, it was just the slowest half of football I've ever seen. Coventry had a lot of the ball. They didn't have a massive amount of chance. They sort of half got in a couple of times. There was one, I'd say, where the ball sort of pinballed around the box, went off the line, and Hadji Wright hit it, and Vasilav Hladky managed to fly across and make an incredible save with it. But other than that, I don't think the keeper really had to make a decent save. And it was just, but it was just long. It just, every time you looked up at the scoreboard, it was just seemingly going backwards. But
yeah,
so the crowd, you could tell the crowd were nervous because it sort of kept dropping into a little bit of a lull, but the crowd knew that they weren't allowed to be nervous and wanted to help the players, so sort of chants were coming up while they were in this lull, and it was just a funny atmosphere, people sort of fighting against their own nerves. But personally, I find it easier in the stadium as opposed to watching it at home. You feel like you can influence things somewhat.
Broadhead header, good save from Collins, and yeah, just talk about that brilliant save by Flaky, Dave.
Well, I think this is obviously just the before the Broadhead one was right at the end, which we'll get onto. But yeah, I mean, the ball's just pinging around the 6-yard box, isn't it? And I think is it Casey Palmer? It might be right. I think it's Casey Palmer who side foots it. It looks like it's actually going wide. Hits Morsey, spins back along the 6-yard box. Burns doesn't know where it is. Turns away. It hits him on the heel. And is it Casey Palmer or is it Hadji Wright? Hadji Wright, isn't it? Who has the close range shot? And it's just pure reaction, isn't it? He's just there. I mean, that's what he practices in training day in, day out. I mean, you see it in the warm up, don't it? Just close range reaction. Unbelievable.
There it is, Dave. XG on target of that shot, 0.74.
Unbelievable, mate. It was unbelievable save, and that's a goalkeeper's lot. Perhaps people were panning him somewhat for maybe the third goal for Hull on the third goal for Hull on Saturday. But look, yeah, that's what gets you. That's what gets you over the line. And the work from Burns for this chance for Broadhead is something else, isn't it? It absolutely stands the fullback up, shows him the ball, takes it away from him. He's done, dips his shoulder again, pinpoint cross. And I don't think, Broadhead's not a natural centre forward, is he, header of a ball? I don't think Broadhead does a great deal wrong. And I've seen people say, oh, yeah, he should get up and head it back across. Well, I think he gets up and heads it down pretty well. I'd say that's a pretty good save from Collins, to be fair. I really would. But if that one, goes in 2-0, that was 47th minute, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it looks like it sneaks in at first, doesn't it? Because it sort of gets a foot to it. It looks like it's going almost in off the post from that point. No, it's a good save. But yeah, I think you're asking a lot for Broadhead to get up there, head the ball back across. He gets up. It's a really good header, heads it down, hits the goal line, which you're sort of taught when you're young and you're where to hit it. And I don't think he could have done He's done much more than that.
It's that was proper. When you look at Burns for that goal, that is what you call proper old-fashioned wing play.
He's the one that gets the ball as well, isn't he? He goes across and he picks it up and then stands him up and flies past him. And then
what you love it is he shows him the ball, run. Does it? There's a ball. Now you see it. Dips. Now we're gone. I'm gone. Beats him for pace. But his ball selection was spot on. And perhaps Kiefer Moore might well have been big enough to head it back. But no, I don't think Broadhead did a lot wrong there.
Okay, half time then, and I don't know, 15 minutes for your nerves to get up a little bit more. But Joe, the equaliser is coming. On the one hand, it's a good bit of play by Hadji Wright to find the space and hit the shot early. Always feel sorry for keepers a bit with these ones where you're expecting it to go across you, or we talked about the one lashed to the near post, and then it's right at your feet and it's through your legs. But people tell me off for defending Clakey too much. Needs to save that, doesn't he, Joe?
It just felt, at the time, sort of from behind the goal, it was past him before he could move almost. He hits it so powerfully and so hard that it looks like it goes under him. But I think in the ground, sometimes when you see the pace these balls are hit, it does make you consider. It was just quite frustrating because at the time, George Hurst and Jeremy Sarmiento were ready to come on, sort of 60th minute, ready to make that sub. And sort of 30 seconds before the goal, there's a ball over the top which Kiefer Moore doesn't have enough pace to reach, where you think George Hurst would probably make it, but because he doesn't, the ball comes back and Hadji Wright just drifts into a nice area, and Edmondson isn't able to get across close enough to him. I guess it's probably more on Burgess's side there, but it's Edmondson's closest, and yeah, he just strikes the ball so cleanly and so crisply that it's just past Hladky before he can move. But yeah, when you look at it in the cold light of day, it looks very, very close to him, but
To be fair to them, it's a pretty slick move, actually. It was a pretty good bit of interpassing. Good ball from Casey, and he just goes off probably Edmondson's one. Don't call it a mistake. He just runs off his shoulder a bit. I thought, to be fair, when I've seen it again, I thought it was a lot closer from where my vantage point. I thought he was perhaps a couple of yards closer. And I said, we were all saying amongst us, said, yeah, he's hit it. But yeah, he's just hit it. And he's really quite close to Kladke, so he's really got no time to react. But yeah, he's a little bit further out.
Could bring a shot map up for you, Dave. There it is. 0.04.
But literally, what, 5 minutes before that, Joe? Oh, how unlucky was Broadhead when he does, you know, again, some pretty crap passing out from the back. Pretty much does everything right, keeps his head, steps inside. And yeah, I mean, Hinchcliffe, I saw, was slagging him for that. I think, come on, right, okay. Yeah, find the far corner. Yeah, brilliant. But just the width of a crossbar again. And you think, Christ, so that's, he hit the post against Watford. It was Sarmiento against Middlesbrough. You think, oh, no, surely not. And then, of course, they go and score and you think, bloody hell. But yeah.
Just remembering the 90s curse of the left-hand post at the
Scowcroft. Oh, I can see
north
it now.
Stand end.
I can see it now.
Yeah, there we go. Anyway, you know my thoughts on curses. I'd like to know your thoughts on Cameron effing Burgess, Joe.
Well, it's funny because in the against Hull, we played well. We went 1-0 up. Then we sort of stepped back and let them get into the game more. And then as soon as they scored to go 1-1, we then looked really good again. And then the same. And then we scored again. And it just seemed like whenever we were level, we were really good at getting ahead. And it seemed, again, as soon as Conference got level, we were looking really good again. And George Hurst had a real big chance where Sarmiento got the ball and played him in. He went through one-on-one and just couldn't squeeze the ball past Collins. And then it's just a sort of few minutes later, a free kick deep on the sort of over on the sort of left-hand touchline. And Davis hits it. He hits it really high. And interesting because when we've played Wolfenden, he's been the sort of sweeper at sort of set pieces where, now, Tuan Zabi was doing it, which meant you could get both your big men into the box, which was Edmondson and Burgess both in there. And that is where the ball ends up. And I think Burgess wins the first header and Edmondson picks it up. And there's a sort of, might even be a foul on Edmondson. It might be a bit harsh. He sort of uses his feet quite well, gets past him. And then Burgess sort of just takes half a touch to get the ball out of his feet and just larrups it at the goal. And it just sort of squeezes in between the keeper and the near post. Very reminiscent of the, from where the away end was to the Barnes end last year when Nathan Broadhead, the ball sort of sneaks in. And it looked to me at the away end that it had gone in the other post, but obviously it just sort of gone in and round goal. So you saw it there and we couldn't even work out who had scored. I thought it was either Burgess or George Hurst. So I did get it half right. But no, what a moment and what an unsung hero Cameron Burgess has been this year for the I know it's not the goal that gets us up, but what could be the most important goal? People have been talking in sort of the Telegram group, and which player would you like to score this goal, the sort of the big goal for the season? And a few people have said Cameron Burgess, and I don't think anyone expected it to be him, did they really? He scored one earlier this season against Sheffield Wednesday, which is a similar one, the ball breaking down from a set piece, which he just managed to poke home. And I thought it was, no, I thought it was excellent. It was really, really, really great, just that instinct there. And then from that point on, we sort of were pretty comfortable, really, weren't we?
Mike, can I quickly answer that question? Who scores the all-important goal? I don't give a flying. Someone score it, please. Dave, does VAR scrub that one out for offside?
Don't think so, do they? Offside, well, on Burgess.
When the free kick first goes in, who is it goes up and challenges? It's Edmondson, isn't it?
Sort of
Edmondson, saw a lot of moaning Burgess about that one.
Really? Oh, but I don't even want to think about VAR. I mean, I know we will have to
think about it next year.
Hopefully,
perhaps.
We will have to think about it at half two on Saturday. But I didn't see any of their players particularly complaining. Well, I mean, obviously, in real time, I didn't see anything. It was a messy old scruffy goal. But as you said, who gives a toss? It was 2-1, and as Joe said after that. Is it ever comfortable with us? You are a bit like this, aren't you? Because you just know. But yeah, we defended just absolutely brilliantly. And perhaps, I haven't seen this in real time. I've seen some of the match back, the highlights. Hutchinson, good shout for a pen or not, Ben?
Apparently so.
Right. Oh, okay. I haven't seen a replay on that. So, Joe? Yeah.
Wrong end for me. I saw the replay and everyone was messaging me saying it was a pen, but obviously didn't get given, but...
And they were a bit wasteful, to be fair. Sorry, Joe, a bit unlike Hull. They were pretty wasteful with their dead balls. They had a few corners, didn't they? They overhit, free kicks, in a very similar position to the Hull third goal. That again, they overhit or hit them too flat. But, I mean, again, just credit to, Burgess and Edmondson, who just seemed to head get in the way of absolutely everything. And I tell you what, Leif Davis, there were two interceptions, Joe, right in front of you. I think there was one in just at the end of normal time. I think one going into time added on, where the ball's played down his line so high, and he's got his winger outside him. He wins the head, and he's behind the winger when he wins the header, and then he beats the winger for pace, and he gets us up the pitch 40, 50 yards. Unbelievable, incredible, and that just set the tone for the whole of those last, 11 bloody minutes. We had the fiasco with the ref, didn't we? Didn't know what the hell was going on there. And then, of course, they had an injury. So, 11 minutes. It was, not quite Sunderland proportions. But, we saw it out, to be fair, really comfortably.
And I think, Joe, I know we debated the on-the-beach thing. I think this is where, when you have one team with everything to play for and one team with nothing to play for, and you've what Dave's just described with Leif Davis there, that's where I think you might have the edge in the end of season games. Talk to me about this 11-minute stoppage time, Joe.
Well, it ended up as 12, didn't it? There was sort of an extra one because there was a sub in it. But
the booking,
it felt like it went on forever and it was just tough to watch. But I went back and watched the game again when I got home, sort of some of it there. But when you actually watch it back in the cold light of day, knowing what the outcome is, it wasn't a particularly tough stoppage time to defend. It wasn't like that Sunderland one where they were just bombarding us.
That doesn't matter.
There was only one sort of
the
shot
kid.
Which drifted well wide.
Chance.
Yeah, but that drifted well wide.
Yeah.
The keeper didn't even sort of just looked at it and left it. So whilst it was torture in the ground, I think as a neutral, you're probably a little bit disappointed with Coventry that they didn't really manage to create anything from after when we scored a goal. And I think that's testament to, like you say, Davis and Tuanzebe, they're defending the flanks, and just how well Burgess and Edmondson defended the box and defended the sort of centre of the pitch there. Morsi was superb, as you expect. Luongo was great. Sarmiento came on and won the ball back countless times just in the short spell he was on the pitch. It was just when the team are talking about their running stats and they do this and they say they run the most in the league, you see it because they do everything at such intensity. There's never nothing is half-arsed on the pitch with our team. Everything is done with full purpose. And so it is a stage when you make a mistake. You see, like, for example, on Saturday where Cameron Burgess doesn't cover that cross. It's such a rare error because everything is just done with such purpose, such intensity. And it's just that is what is driving us through to this promotion.
And you, a good point you make there, Joe. They just got in the way of everything from wide areas last night, didn't they? They really did. The only one that perhaps they didn't was the scramble in the box that led to the Clagy save in the first half. But other than that, they were just cutting out crosses at source most of the time, weren't they? Absolutely brilliant.
You got a man of the match for me, you two?
Blimey. I think I'd go just for the centre-back pairing. I think Edmondson and Burgess, just the two of them were just imperious, weren't they?
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't choose between those two. Yeah, absolutely. Just brilliant. Yeah.
Well, prepare yourself, ladies and gentlemen of the chat, because I'm going to be having a look at the live league table in a minute or so after I've read these plugs out. And after that, you can get your questions in for Dave, Joe and myself. Our partnership with NordVPN continues for all of your needs for streaming, perhaps, and internet security. Link in the description. And head over to glorydaysartwork.co.uk. We've done plenty of partnerships with them for all your ITFC print TV, T-shirt and mug needs. Tomorrow night, so we're not going to go too hefty in the detail on Huddersfield Town specifically, players, manager, etc. We will talk about the big picture, no doubt, when the questions come up. But tune in to Rich and Seb to find out about Huddersfield. And if you fancy it, click on the video I put up on my channel this morning and read the comments from Huddersfield fans. It may do some good for your confidence, is all I will say. And then Sunday, 8 p.m., and I'm going to say this a few times in the next half hour, guys, will either be the greatest episode of the Blue Monday podcast of all time, or the worst. And there is absolutely nothing in between. I hate binary thinking, but it's round 46 and we all know where we stand.
Ben, just quickly, I think it's pretty fair to say if it's the best, we'll probably have the most populated presenter, you know, on anyone's show at one time. If it's the worst, it'll probably be me and you.
That'd be good, actually. Yeah, we go back to losing the Fleetwood at home.
We just reversed to type all those years ago.
Ah.
Blue Monday are delighted to be partnered with TalkSport Fan Network and NordVPN, giving you the best possible offering for browsing the internet securely. NordVPN opens up global streaming options for content not available in your region by switching your virtual location quicker than Wes Burns running down the wing. NordVPN acts like your cyber Sam Morsey whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like passwords and credit card details from falling into the wrong hands. For about the price of an ITFC match program a month or a Blue Monday Telegram subscription, you can get yourself a NordVPN account which can be used across 6 different devices. If you need to rapidly change direction like Amari Hutchinson, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast or YouTube subscription to be taken straight there, supporting us here at Blue Monday in the process.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You win. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
And look at the state of that. Leicester City promoted, 97 points. They're the only side out of the three managed to get any kind of winning streak, because everybody's been tripping over their own shoelaces in the run-in. Ipswich Town. And I mean, when we're doing this, guys, I forget, 93. I mean, for God's sake, 93. If you told me we were going to have a chance of finishing second, I think it would be like that season was Hull and Cardiff in the top two with like 81 and 78 or whatever it was. Ridiculous. So Leeds United 3 points behind. We all know the permutations. I'm going to say it anyway. If Ipswich win on Saturday against Huddersfield, they are promoted to the Premier League. If Ipswich draw on Saturday, they are promoted to the Premier League. If Leeds do not beat Southampton at Elland Road, Ipswich are promoted to the Premier League. The one scenario we do not want to see: Ipswich lose at home to Huddersfield, Leeds United beat Southampton, Ipswich will miss out on promotion to the Premier League on goal difference. I've been reflecting on this, Joe, and it's that losses column in the end, six defeats through the season, and the difference at the moment, 27 wins apiece, is three draws. And in the running, obviously, Leeds have had defeats to QPR, you know, heavily, and Blackburn. And turns out, for a high-scoring team, it's been Ipswich Town's durability and ability to not lose games that's put them in this potential promotion-winning position.
Yeah, and I think you only have to look at the last week for that, really, because if you look at Leeds' game against QPR, where they lose 4-0 last Friday, if they draw that game, rather than needing 5 from 3 when we go to Hull, we need 6 from 3. So when we get the draw there, rather than a point being good enough at Coventry, we need to win at Coventry to keep it in our own hands. So just those, like that point they lost there, and when they lost to Blackburn that day and we drew with Middlesbrough at home that day, just these 2 points gained, they were just massive points, weren't they? And you just can't afford to keep losing those games. So it was just, they've just been just so important, just continuing to pick up points. I know Leicester have won so many more games than we have and sort of barely drawn any games all season. But yeah, those individual points you pick up, we've always spoken all season about win at home, draw away. If you can do that, you're sort of golden. And we've really kept up that rate. And like I say, you look over the last 5 games and we've got, I know it's a win and 3 draws, 6 points, but Leeds have ended up with 4 points now. That 2 points makes all the difference, because like I say, if Leeds had 92 and we had 93 now, we're in a very, very different position to what we are in.
Amazing, Dave, isn't it? We talked about the high standards all season, and Joe's right. Other than Leicester, who've won 4 in 6, everyone's tripping over the shoelaces in the running, aren't they?
Yeah, well, we are. I mean, we only had the one defeat, really, didn't we? Okay, I don't know how many games are subsequent from Cardiff, obviously within that, the Norwich game. We've just had the one defeat. So, I mean, okay, 12 draws, but 6 defeats. We just find a way. We just find a way not to get beaten somehow in most games. And that, you know, just says so much about the character, the setup and the character of the, yeah. I mean, 10 defeats over the last 2 seasons minus, just, that's just bonkers, isn't it? Absolutely crazy stuff. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Let's go into some questions then. Get them in via the chat. Again, we don't want to steal the thunder too much of the preview show. Let me scroll up here and see what we have got. Don't forget to hit the like button if you're watching live on YouTube. Helps us greatly. Right. Joe, do you think we'll be looking to get Sarmiento and Hutchinson back next season, even if just on loan?
Well, with Sarmiento, when the deal was announced, the news was broken by this Ecuadorian journalist, and she was then subsequently having pictures leaked before the club was announcing the signing of him with the shirt, the dressing rooms. They are obviously very, very well connected, this journalist with the family. And the part of that deal was saying that if Ipswich get promoted, we have the option to have him next season as well. It's an 18-month deal. If we get promoted, he'd stay with us next season as well. So I don't see any reason why we wouldn't be taking that option up if we've got it, because I think he's been a real revelation lately. I looked at his stats the other day. He scored 3 goals, which is the late goal at Leicester to get the point there, the one that puts us 2-1 ahead against Birmingham with 5 minutes to go, and the late goal at Southampton. And he's got 1 assist, which is the flick off of Leif Davis to score the 90th minute against Rotherham. So when you're talking about impact, that is serious, serious impact. And when you see the off the ball, off, sorry, off the ball work he does last night. He's a real, real player.
Come his thing now, isn't it?
Chaotic, yeah. He's great. Yeah, and Amari Hutchinson, if there's a way you can get him next year, I think you do all you can to get him there, whether it's a signing, whether it's a loan again.
Joe, you'd think,
I don't know.
We might be pole position, potentially. Obviously, it depends on promotion, doesn't it? But if he's not ready for Chelsea, the next stage for him would be a Premier League loan. And unless they think we're going to lose all our games in the Premier League next season, they can loan him to someone better, then, you know, it might be an easy
return. I just think his contract's up at the end of next season, so they might either just want to sell him just to, you know, Chelsea's such a funny club with their sort of profit and sustainability going on at the moment with all the signings that they've made. So,
well, that's not clear profit because they paid like $5 million for him from
Arsenal, but if they can sell him for 20 now, it's still a big chunk of profit. And would we be in for him at that price? Well, I'd say probably because he's still only 20, isn't he?
No. Yeah, just a word on Sarmiento. Just a little word for that pass to Hurst last night. Just ridiculous. The no-look one. Absolutely ridiculous. He does make such an impact, Joe's right, from the bench.
Norman, with the proposed changes to FFP rules, salary cap, what potential impact could it have on newly promoted teams? I don't think any changes will be flagged through particularly soon. My understanding of the, squad cost, you know, kind of leverage thing, I think our income is going to be so inferior compared to everyone else, potentially in the Premier League. Yes, before anyone clips any of this out, we haven't been promoted yet. It's going to be a struggle, Joe, isn't it, when you've got a year of... I don't think anyone in the FFP stroke... This is the peak of the FFP parachute payments era. No one's gone back-to-back promotions. And I mean, we've seen Sunderland go the other way and still be getting a parachute payment when they're in League One, but no one's going to have a year of League One PNS stuff on their books and a Premier League season at the same time.
No, but the new rules effectively would mean that if we wanted to, we could spend a hell of a lot more than what we currently are able to do. But I don't really see that how that will work like that. But no, we're going to be in a really strong position if we have the backing that can go with it and we can spend that money wisely, because we will have such huge scope for spending effectively because of I think we put the FFP losses in our accounts when we made them, and we've got, like, this year we should have like 20 million of sort of headroom if we wanted to spend it. Well, next year, if we really want to have a go at the Premier League, we've got a real opportunity to.
I just had a good question, but I just had to block some douchebag in the comments calling me John Wick. Although, basically saying I look like movie star Keanu Reeves, which I'll take.
Keep it in.
I've blocked him now. If you're still watching, yeah, I still hate you. You're blocked. Right, here we go. Joe and I disagree on this, Dave, so you can answer this one. Saints getting a result at Leeds. Rob?
What question? Saints getting a result at Leeds. What, will they get a result at Leeds?
I guess that's what he's asking.
I guess that's the question. I don't know. It's a tough one. Look, they just lost what, 4 on the spin. Have they just gone 4 off the spin? Absolutely taken apart terribly by Leicester. Lost at home.
Won his own, wasn't it?
Lost at home to Stoke. I mean, honestly. So, I don't know. You know, you're going to think they would be up for it because they'd want to take some momentum into the playoffs. But I see Leeds winning that, I think. Agree? Do you think?
I just think having lost 3 on the bounce, they're just going to go there and find a way to not lose a game. It's just what you do when you lost 3 on the bounce. You don't want to go into the playoffs on the back of 4 defeats in a row, do you? And I think that'll just end up somehow Southampton will just get there and try and get a draw and get one. And especially if the things play out like we all hope they do, where we can get ahead against Huddersfield and Leeds see it's too big a... sort of too big a sort of gap to close, too big a mountain to climb, and the game just sort of dwindles out.
I think I'm going to stereotype the two managers here. I think Russ Martin is going to have a textbook, maybe some poetry or something under his arms, and talk about the honesty of the group and the process and what wonderful people they all are. Daniel Farker is manager of Leeds United, and if he does not get promoted, he's going to want to point to the fact that they were the record point scorers without being promoted. Any other season, they would have gone up. And I think he's quite proud of his championship legacy at our friends up the road. And I think he wants 93 points and he's going to play his first teamers. Rich, did we enjoy the post-match acknowledgements from Messrs. Chambers and Ashton? It's hard not to get carried away with it, Dave, isn't it? But there is still one game to go here.
There is, yeah. I mean, obviously, he was doing. We saw a bit of it in our books at halftime. You know, Chambers doing the summarising, and it was lovely at the end. I mean, did you see that, Joe? Were you still there for that?
No, I missed that.
You missed that?
I gather.
So, yeah, as someone,
didn't even see his hand in front of his face at that point, Dave.
I think someone in our Telegram said, you know, how nice it was, and he came and got the, you know, perhaps got the acknowledgement that maybe he didn't get when he left the club, what, three seasons ago now. So, yeah, that was nice. And apparently, Mr. Ashton got all quite emotional, didn't he, by all accounts, quite rightly so. He panned to him at the end of the game and he looked like he was choking up somewhat. So, yeah, that was nice. That was nice.
We'd like to point out we are aware there is work still to be done and we respect Huddersfield Town and the craziness of the Championship. There's a caveat to literally everything we say on this podcast.
I forgot on that, which was just posting there, that Daniel Fark bombed Russell Martin out at Norwich, didn't he? So... sort of no love lost.
Yeah, he didn't like the power of certain areas of the dressing room, from my understanding. But let's say no more about that. I hate these questions, but I'll put it up because these players that we love, Joe, some of them will no longer be with us if we get promoted, will they?
Yeah, I think that Hladky will sign a new long-term contract here. But I think if we get promoted, that we would be looking for a new number one, and he'd probably end up being a sort of number two cup goalkeeper, would be my prediction. But we'll see where we are.
Dave?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, obviously, Christian Walton's literally been kicking his heels for most of the season. I mean, that's been, you know, again, if it all comes right on Saturday, I mean, that is just such a feature of our season, isn't it? Who could have ever thought that at the beginning of the season, you know, leading onto that Sunderland game where he gets injured and it appears that he's going to be out. Well, not appears, he was out for like 3 months. You think, oh, it's just absolute disaster. So, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think that Kieran Slicker, I think they rate quite highly. Obviously, he's very much a number three, so I would expect him to stay. So, yeah, I would have thought we would get another, certainly another keeper in. Yeah.
Very finished problems. Tons of Huddersfield fans saying they don't want to do anything to help Leeds. Do you think they'll have any bearing on at all how the Terriers might play? I mean, I'll go first, Dave. That's what the fans are saying. They're not very enamoured with this squad and the effort of this squad. The guys tomorrow will go in far more detail, but you have your pride, and anyone who's reached championship level as a football player has got to be a pretty ruthless, determined bugger who's not just going to... I know loads of people in the chat will point to Exeter last season, but not just going to fold under pressure, Dave.
I don't see it. I don't see it, really. I mean, it certainly helps that, okay, mathematically they're not, but they are. Let's face it. They've got to make up, what, 15, is it? 15 goals, something like that. That certainly helps. Completely, as you alluded to in recent weeks, Ben, completely different narrative to the game had they come and, you know, a win, say, results had
did
worked
we have
for
to,
them.
I can't
last...
remember, Dave. Did we have to beat Exeter? I can't remember.
We needed two points from three games.
Fleetwood still to play, which we drew that, didn't we?
Sorry, 2 points from the last two games.
How many people forget that Fleetwood game? At the times I've said, oh, yeah, we beat Exeter the last game, walloped, and he said, nah. I said, well, yes, you did, 6-0. I said, no, it wasn't the last game. I said, oh, Christ, yeah, that game against Fleetwood. Yeah, look, it's going to be, but, you know, as we said, they're going to play. They're professional footballers. All right, they're going down, but they're going to want to play for pride. Some of them playing for contracts, perhaps. But, yeah, well, I mean, if you could, I heard someone say this the other day, if you could cherry pick a team to play on Saturday, well, it'd be either them, Rotherham, or, yeah, well, yeah, them and Rotherham are definitely down, aren't they? And then they would be the two. And then
I think
one,
I'd take Sunderland.
I guess one other mid-table struggling out of form side. So, yeah, it's seemingly, as someone said in our Telegram group, 99.999% of the stars have aligned. But there is always, as you quite rightly said, that caveat that we do need a point.
And this, last year we played it so perfectly, didn't we? That we just Exeter, we just got ahead early and scored like three goals in the first 15 minutes. Because when you're playing a team with nothing to play for, if you let them get into the game, then
That first goal makes
If you can get a couple of goals up against them, then they generally aren't going to have the intensity or the desire to get back into the game at the levels you need to be.
And I think the difference is as well, Joe. Don't forget, coming into that game last year, we were just steamrolling sides, weren't we? We were absolutely just rolling every side over. So yeah, there was some. Well, yeah, but you're right. I think a goal or two up, and yeah, I think you can start the car, as old David Lloyd would say.
Joe, coach, welcome. Good or bad?
Well, it was good last year, wasn't it? I think it was a fantastic atmosphere. It wasn't a celebration. It was a we are with you to get you over the line here. So I think maybe some people from other clubs will look at it and say, oh, you haven't got promoted yet, why are you doing this? But I don't think that's the intention of it. And I don't think that's how the players took it. I think it just helped them be extra focused to go into it. And I say it worked last year. If we don't win this year and it all goes wrong, it's not going to be because of a coach welcome, is it? It's going to be because of what's happened on the pitch and we haven't done our job.
I don't know about you, but I didn't think a particular... I can understand them doing it, but I didn't think it particularly helped before the Norwich game, do you? I don't think that particularly helped. But yeah, as Joe said, yeah, if it does Saturday, it'll be what a moment it'll be. It'll be brilliant. And as Joe, again, quite rightly, Joe said, whatever happens, they won't have any bearing on that result Saturday.
No. Paul, do you know how long Premier League will take to investigate and impose points deductions against teams who have broken rules and got promoted?
God. Come on, Ben.
Leicester. I think it'll take them all of about 30 seconds to go after Leicester, the way that Leicester have threatened to counter sue and avoid jurisdiction. And I suppose it does become a... Someone messaged me today, Joe, and said, well, if you do go up, Ben, you know, Leicester might have a minus 10 or a minus 8, given how they've, you know, behaved after being charged for their breach. And, you know, maybe that's one relegation place gone already. I don't know. But yeah, we could... I'm trying to think of any other carnage in the Premier League in terms of P&S. But as someone asked earlier...
Everton are still... Their apparently takeover is going wrong. They could be going into administration. Yeah. So.
Oh, they could do that next season. That's a minus 12, isn't it?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Sorry, that's a horrible thing. I don't want any club to go into administration. I'll take that back immediately before I get loads of stick in the comments. My bad. But yeah, interesting point as I hang myself here live on the internet.
Don't kid yourself. We'll need all the help we can get.
Dave, just for balance, if we don't make it, do we fancy Hull or West Brom? I mean, I fancy neither of them, but Hull out of those two.
Yeah, looking at the game last Saturday, I mean, yeah, a bit of a basketball game where I think you could play a West Brom, and we've seen it away, and we saw it to some degree in the home game, didn't we? That yeah, they could. All right, they're not in the best run of form as well, but yeah, I think they could be quite get ahead, and they could be quite difficult to beat and peg back. So. If worse comes to worse, Chris, yeah, I would say Hull, but my God, that could be an entertaining couple of games, couldn't it? I don't even want to contemplate it, but yeah, it really could.
Could we have a word with certain Premier League clubs and have Zaruri, Giles, Carvalho and Delap all sent back? Then I'd definitely take Hull in the playoffs. That was fun.
Well, I think take Hull in the playoffs because it's, what is it, 6-3 on, it, 6-3 on aggregate, isn't it, this season against them, and West Brom, it's 4-2. Down.
Yeah. Being frank on Ipswich Town, Joe, how will McKenna play this knowing we only need one point? Does anything slip into this guy who never changes his style's mind? You know, given it's essentially a cup game, isn't it? This is tournament football on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think maybe because you just want to get ahead, the easiest way to get the point is to win the game, isn't it? Effectively to get ahead and score a goal. So we will be going out to score a goal. We won't be sitting there trying to play for a 0-0. I can't see it anyway. I think we just go out there and attack the game like we would any other game at Portman Road this season.
Look at this. I'm getting mocked in the chat here. Will we finally get an emotional Benjamin Bloom? Look at this. Cry, Benjamin, cry. So I did admit today that I couldn't do a watch along of the Coventry game because I'm just too invested in the whole thing now. And I got loads of grief, Dave, for when Ipswich scored three goals against Hull, getting very excited. And when Hull scored, that's a goal. Yep, there it is.
So, yeah, it's very much. You channeled your inner Brenna Woolley there, I thought, quite
yeah,
well.
Yeah, right. No, I'll be extremely emotional, as I think many, many people are, more just out of sheer shock that, you know, Dave and Joe and myself and Richard and all the podcast team have had conversations where we said, I imagine we could just get to the Premier League. And, you know, on our podcast, we can talk about Manchester United and Arsenal and Liverpool and Tottenham and Chelsea and Manchester City. And
scary.
But we are not promoted yet. Right. Any more in the chat? Very much enjoying this. Michael, what are you doing? Norwich to go up with us via the playoffs, Joe. I think if Norwich get Leeds, I don't think they beat Leeds. I think if Norwich get Southampton, I think they're in the final.
Oh,
like there was a time when I used to think, oh, actually, it'd be quite nice to have an Old Farm derby in the Premier League and that. But for me, I just want Norwich's parachute payments to run out and for them to have to spend a couple of years having to sell players, trying to get their outrageous wage bill under control and actually just putting them back in their box, so to speak.
The last time their parachute payments ran out, they sold James Maddison, signed Demi Buendia and won the league.
Oosh, so- don't.
We thought that would happen before.
What did you say, Ben? Norwich don't make it up through the playoffs. We do manage to get promotion. Gabby Sarah, sign him.
I'll have Johnny Rowe as well, please. And that science fellow.
It goes down like a bag of cold sick, wouldn't it? That really
yeah,
they've
got some great players there, haven't they? As Joe points out. Dave, Brett Flowers. That's a great name, isn't it? Who's the guy from The Killers? He's Brandon Flowers.
That's a great
like a pop
name,
star.
Though. Brett Flowers.
Who starts in defence? Stick with Edmondson. Or do you bring Wolfie back? Remember. Big threat for Huddersfield is set plays. I think the lad Bergzog. Rich and Seb will talk about this tomorrow. Helic is the top scorer and he's just a massive centre-half.
Well,
so
I guess with that, then, do you stick with Edmondson then?
I think you might do, Dave.
Yeah, I think so, if that's the case. Again, harsh on Wolfie, but you'd think that... you know, if it all pans out and he does stick with Edmondson and we are in the driving seat that, you know, he's going to get on at some point.
Nick, how important will Be More be? I think he means as a defender on Saturday. Assuming he doesn't start, Joe, maybe not that important. Fingers crossed if we're two goals up by the time he goes on. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, hopefully so, We want the game. We all know how we want the game to go, and we want the game to be over sort of by half time, and it just be a procession for the second half. So hopefully, we won't need him to be coming on and doing a lot defensively. We want him to come on to try and score a goal.
There you go. I hate to do this, guys, but let's just summarise. It's hard not to put it, Dave, in terms of the podcast, obviously, because that's you know, it's been a big part of my fandom of Ipswich Town, and my fandom sort of lapsed under Marcus Evans, and then I have to say Mick McCarthy brought it back, and we started the podcast after that playoff finish in 2015. But this just feels surreal and ridiculous. I thought the Sheffield United one under Chris Wilder, Dave, where they came up after languishing, finished 10th and then finished second, I thought that was incredible in the P&S parachute payments era. But we really, really, really are on the cusp of, and we're not promoted yet, could be heaven, could be hell. We really are on the cusp of the most incredible story potentially in English football this season.
No, I honestly, and I think you're right, and all the commentators, I heard Simon Jordan talking about it on Talk Sport, and all other commentators are saying exactly the same thing. Yes, Southampton have done it. Yes, Norwich have done it, but not in the current, as you said, financial playground as it is now. So, it will be unprecedented. I was trying not to get too carried away with it. Up till the whistle went last night, and I think everybody's in the same boat here. You have to try and keep it measured, say, okay, we still need 4 points. But I think at the final whistle, I think, it really did start to sink in, finger, right, we're actually, okay, we haven't, but we're actually going to do this now. And yeah, if you put it into context with a pod, Ben, you know, you and I and the guys, Joe and Rich and Seb and Craig and Mikey, you know, who subsequently, you know, came on board. There's been some, honestly, mate, when me and you and the guys first started to do it, there were some weeks, really, it was tough, wasn't it? You almost felt like saying, Dave, I'm not sure I can do, Ben, Dave, I'm not sure I can do this anymore. It's just dreary, isn't it? But this is what it's all been building up to. And this is what it makes it all worthwhile. And you just see the comments and the Telegram group and everything that goes with it, the whole community that's built up around the podcast. And it's, it would be emotional. I think it will Saturday. Yeah, it could well be, hopefully.
I never imagined it, Joe. I never, ever imagined it. I remember Harry used to say, we don't deserve nice things. We, do you know what I mean? And, you know, prior to that takeover in League One, and we having more in common with Bradford City than Sheffield United under Chris Wilder. By the way, their story didn't end at second place in the Championship, but let's not go there. Just your final thoughts, Joe.
Yeah, I just think it's just so big for the town. And yeah, like I said, my children are like 7 and 5, so they've only just started going. They don't realise it was just actually lose games of football. They just go to Portman Road and watch us win every week. But I know I've got friends who've got older children, people whose children are like, and they're not even children anymore. These guys were like 21, 18, following town all over the country, the sort of age that I was when I was doing it, and they've had no success. When I was there, we just dropped out of the Premier League and we were a top Championship side and we looked like we were going to get back there. But these guys have had to do it through some real bad times, and it almost could have lost a generation of fans in the town. But this coming in has just built that generation back up now. And I'd say you see these guys every game now, and it's just fantastic to see. It's because we are still a really small town, and we're just a one club county. And you go there and you go to Coventry on a Tuesday night, there's 2,500 Ipswich fans there, and there could have been twice as many as that if we had the tickets for it. And every away game is a sellout, and it doesn't feel like they're sort of glory hunting. It just feels like people have just wanted something to get invested in. We finally now have something to be invested in. The club is going in the right way, where for the last, like I say, through the Marcus Evans era, once his sort of money was not enough, when the parachute payments kicked up, we were just in a position where we were just hoping for a miracle, effectively. And we nearly got one in 2014-15, where we got into the playoffs on a team which I think the signings had cost like £10,000 in the whole squad, or £110,000 in the whole squad. And we just weren't good enough to get over the line then, sadly. And then it just drifted and drifted from there. And then we had the takeover and it looked like everything was perfect. And then we started awfully and we had Paul Cook come in, sort of break the squad up. And then we were losing to Charlton and the players were arguing with the fans at the end of the game, and then going to Barrow and getting embarrassed on TV. And he just thought, oh my God, we finally got something good here. And it's even this isn't working. And then Kieran McKenna, Mark Ashton, fantastic, bringing Kieran McKenna in the door. And from the second Kieran McKenna's walked in the door, our trajectory has just been exponential, like a rocket, hasn't it? And it doesn't need to stop here, even from what we've got. It's just fantastic. And I can't wait for 2:30 on Saturday, when we can be hopefully a better pitch invasion than we managed last year, all on there celebrating the heroes of this team that have brought so much joy to so many people, and just all seem a great bunch of guys, great group. And sort of Kieran McKenna and Sam Morsey are just the two leaders, and Mark Ashton above them are the three leaders in the club that have just done superb for us, and long may it continue.
You got two full days, guys, two full days, and then Saturday rolls around. You'll see Seb and you'll see Rich tomorrow night on the preview. They'll give you a little bit more on Huddersfield, but I'm sure you just want to talk about what might happen to us on Saturday. And what might happen to us on Saturday could be truly, truly remarkable and memorable. But as you say, Joe, just take a leaf out of our leader's book and our very, you know, full of humility and self-awareness despite his passion, Kieran McKenna. Don't count those chickens. Cross those fingers. We are so close, Dave.
Yeah, we are. Can I just say a big shout out to my great mate, John, who drove myself and Rich up and back from there last night. While he was up there, his mum was taken in the hospital. So, John, I know he's listening. Hope your mum's okay, mate. And see you in the Greyhound. Nice, all been well. See you in the Greyhound nice and early on Saturday.
I'm going to finish by going all Yuri Geller on you. Hold up one finger, Joe. Hold up one finger, Dave. Everybody listening, hold up one finger. 1 point. 1 point. Premier League.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Open up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.